Hello, everyone.
Hey.
It's us, and we're back.
Yes, this is episode 79 of Catnaps in Cognac.
Meow.
That is always so goofy when one of us does that.
I know. Well, we are your hosts. I am Dee Dee.
And I am Arielle.
And welcome to the show. If you are a return listener, thank you so much for coming back and joining us. And if this is your first time joining us, welcome. And we hope that you will go and check out the other 78 episodes that we have available for your listening enjoyment.
Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it.
So, how are you, Ari?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm not bad. I am drinking an apple Rita.
I like how they say that, like they write it down in the middle.
Yeah. It has three H's. And I actually like it. It tastes like cider.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It might be my favorite one of all of them.
Whoa!
Even more than Strawberita.
Whoa!
Yeah.
I had it twice. I will say that the second time I had it, I did like it better than the first. And it could have been because I had like a way bigger can. Mm. Like the very first one I had, it was a teeny tiny can. Uh-huh. So I'm not sure if that was it. It still tasted a little bit beery to me, but the aftertaste wasn't as bad as the first time.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like it. I'm excited for their next flavors. What do you think their next flavor is going to be?
I think that they should go pumpkin.
Pumpkin for sure. And I'm thinking, I mean, since they did apple Rita, they could do a pomegranate one.
Did they have that last? No, they had cranberryta.
They had cranberry. Yeah, they had a cranberryta. So they might as well just go with the pomegranate Rita.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah, pomegranate.
Go all out.
make it fancy. What's a fancy fruit that we don't really eat?
A lychee? Is that how you say it?
I hate lychee, lychee. Lychee. I don't know how you pronounce it.
I don't know how either.
You know what? Actually, I honestly don't know if I like or don't like lychee, lychee. Because the first time I had it, it was in ice cream form. And I was told that the ice cream was vanilla ice cream. So my brain was prepared for vanilla ice cream.
Ooh.
Not for this fruity, weird ice cream. So I think the shock from it not being vanilla ice cream and it being this weird fruit, it made me like totally turn off of lychee lychee. But I've never had the fruit alone.
I like the fruit.
You like the fruit?
But I've only had it in cocktails though.
Okay. See, anytime I even see a lychee lychee cocktail, I'll be like, no, thank you. I don't want it.
I like it. I think they taste good.
Okay, well, I need to try it alone, not in ice cream form.
Yeah.
My decision on if I would like it or not. Kiwi is a fruit that we don't really eat.
No.
Yeah. I don't think I would want it in a Rita, though.
I don't think I would either. Let's see, a fruit that we really don't eat.
I don't know. I eat a lot of fruit.
Papaya?
Ugh. I guess. I hate papaya.
I don't think I've ever had papaya before.
Oh, it stinks.
Does it?
Yes, it smells awful.
Ooh.
It's an awful smelling fruit. It tastes okay, but when you cut it open, I don't know if it's the seeds or what it is, but papaya is a smelly fruit.
Yikes.
You know what? Speaking of smelly fruits, have you ever heard, this is kind of off topic, but it's because I said smelly. Have you ever heard of kombucha tea?
Yes.
I've never had it. Does it stink?
I've never had it either.
I was watching something and they were sampling some kombucha. They were like, oh my God, this smells awful, but it tastes great.
Ugh.
And I was like, how can something smell bad but taste good?
Like cheese?
But the cheese smell.
Some cheeses smell bad.
Yeah, but you can still taste that smell. Not that they taste bad, but when you have the actual cheese and the fats and everything together, it melanges well, but to the nose it doesn't smell good because it doesn't have all those fats and everything reinforcing the flavor that's coming from that smell. If that makes any sense.
It makes sense.
Yeah, but apparently kombucha does not smell good, but it tastes good.
I don't know. I'm not here for things that stink like that.
Yeah, me either.
Such a turn off.
So isn't the new craze is activated charcoal in your drinks?
Supposedly in LA, because that's what they do over here, Yeah. They like to, you know, be healthy and run in cannons and canyons and stuff like that. So, you know, people be doing juice cleanses like this girl over here. And the new thing is a charcoal juice, which is supposed to be, like, good for your insides. Yuck.
What does it do to your insides? Like, it makes you go potty?
I guess it's just detoxifying. I forgot there was, like, a couple of benefits that it had to it. But, you know, then in the article that I read, they talked about, like brushing your teeth with charcoal to make them whiter. And
I heard that, yeah.
I forgot what else, but there's a few other benefits that I clearly don't care about because I'm not drinking charcoal. That's for damn sure.
Me neither. I looked it up and the lemonade was gray.
Right. Like, how is this okay?
I'm not drinking anything gray.
No.
No. Who's doing that? Anyway, a little off topic, but let's get into the show.
Yes.
So, what do we have in current events?
Oh, this is really sad, and I don't like to think about it, but it's what's been in the news. Joan Rivers, comedian extraordinaire, she is on life support right now.
Oh my God.
She was having throat surgery at her doctor's office, or at a doctor's office, last week, and she went into cardiac arrest. Then she was put into a medical-induced coma. They got her out of the coma, but now she's on life support. And her daughter, Melissa Rivers, she released a statement saying that they're grateful for the public support at this time. And yes, she is on life support. She was taken to Mount Sinai Hospital. She's here in New York City. She's in Manhattan. And who knows when she's going to be off life support.
Yeah. Hopefully she'll be able to start, you know, breathing and doing things on her own.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like Joan Rivers. And this makes me sad.
Yeah.
Especially following so closely after the whole thing with Robin Williams.
Right.
Know? It's like all of our funny people are leaving the earth, and these are the people that you didn't think could die.
Right. She's definitely like one of the people that I just didn't even think about like ever dying.
Right. I mean, like you said, as unrealistic as it is to think that, but these are the people like Michael Jackson, Whitney Houston, like nobody was thinking that these people are going to pass on.
Right.
And so when they do, it really does take a toll on you because these are the people that you grew up with, you know, grew up watching and who entertained you. And a lot of people, you know, are influenced by all of these people. And also Joan Rivers really like, she's one of the pioneers for female comedians.
Yeah, definitely.
So we're going to wish her well and, you know, hope for a speedy recovery.
She's pretty much the one who started, like, Fashion Police. Like,
yeah,
she was doing all these red carpets for so many years, and now she has her show on E! Then she's still super funny and very active on the show. Like, she cracks me up.
And she's so lucid, too, for someone who's, what, 81 years old?
She's 81.
She is so lucid, so there, all together, and, you know, we just want to see her get better and, you know, make it through this. We're not ready for her to go.
No.
Not ready. So, prayers to Joan Rivers and her family, and we're just wishing a speedy recovery.
Yeah.
If you guys are hearing any heavy breathing in the background, that's Dakota. She came to come and get some loving from mommy. And she always breathes really hard. She has breathing problems, okay? So get over it.
Ooh, child.
She made a little cameo on the show, like she always does. Catnaps and cognac and puppies.
Catnap, cognacs, and I wish there was something else with a C. You know how I like alliteration.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That's all right.
Oh, catnap, the cognac, the canine.
Yes! Preach.
We did it.
Woo!
So, in other news, we've got, you know, there is a men's rights movement.
Huh?
On Twitter, every time, like, you know, there's something where the feminists, you know, go on a little rampage on Twitter, meninist Twitter comes along and they have their, well, this happens in Black Twitter. I don't know what happens in white Twitter, but on Black Twitter, whenever the feminists, you know, band together, the men come together and, you know, turn the whole topic around. And usually they do it in, it's supposed to be funny. But some of the stuff that they have, that they say, is, you know, it has a little bit of merit. So there is a men's rights group, and they're saying that feminism has come at the expense of men. So this summer, a few hundred men and a handful of women gathered in a VFW hall near Detroit to attend what organizers billed as the first international conference on men's issues. The crowd wasn't huge, but it was enthusiastic. The event was a real-world gathering organized by the website A Voice for Men, part of an informal collection of websites, chat rooms, and blogs focused on what's known as the men's rights movement. There was speaker after speaker, and they insisted that history would remember this moment. It's happening here. It's happening now. It's happening with us. That was Warren Farrell, one of the keynote speakers, and that's what he told the crowd. Farrell published The Myth of Male Power, Why Men Are the Disposable Sex in 1993, and it's often described as the intellectual father, or he is often described as the intellectual father of men's rights movement. Leaders in the movement say they want to bring more attention to problems of men and boys. Critics worry that, however, these sites are a breeding ground for misogyny. For his part, Farrell actually tries to avoid the phrase men's rights. It's like somebody saying we're in favor of the king's rights, he says. The average person thinks that men are already at the top of the political structure. They have all the rights, they made all the rules, and if anything is going wrong with men, it's their fault because, after all, it's just a consequence of the men's rules. But he says that perspective is just completely missing the point. They have cries of pain and alienation.
What?
He doesn't deny that men he doesn't deny that men make up a vast majority of members of Congress and corporate boards, but he says that the fact tends to obscure the problems facing millions of men and boys that don't get enough attention. The fathers are often separated from their children by the family court system. There is no White House counsel on men and boys, and there are women's studies but not men's studies departments at the universities, excuse me. Boys also drop out of college and commit suicide at higher rates than girls too. He says we need to know not only why are our sons committing suicide, but also why are our sons much more likely to be the ones to shoot up schools. He says we're all in jeopardy if we don't pay attention to the cries and pain and of isolation and alienation that are happening amongst our sons. Okay.
This is how I feel about it. Why? Like, WTF. Okay, this is what I have to say, because if things were equal, there wouldn't even be a need for women's rights.
Right.
Why do you have to make everything about you?
Right. This is the problem. This is the problem. And I don't even know what to think about it. I think it's kind of ridiculous.
kind of ridiculous. It's very ridiculous.
Like, what? I mean, he does have points where he says, you know, boys do commit suicide at higher rates, and they're usually the ones to, you know, shoot up schools and things like that. And so we do need to figure out what that issue is there. However, that has nothing to do with men's rights.
No, it doesn't.
Like, what? That has nothing to do with being, you know, yeah, with meninist or being, you know, your rights. This is something that we just need to figure out, like, why are men more likely to do that, and then try to find the resolution. That's it.
I'm so over men, and so they're, like, always trying to take things from us and put it into their own little spin, further diminish, like, what feminism is. Like, right. Come on, guys. Like, get it together. Like, you really have this Bill Gates-looking guy speaking at this conference, and it's like, bro, get your life. Get your entire life, please.
And this guy who created the website Voice for Men in 2009, he says, and he was the one who organized the Michigan event, his site draws about 20,000 to 30,000 visits a day. But critics say the site and others devoted to men's rights generate more heat than light.
No. No.
Yeah.
No.
So most of those people who are going there are like, get the hell out of here.
And who are the two women or the few women that were there?
What are y'all doing there?
Yes, I am judging.
Wait a minute. Wow, look at this. So, this is a dramatic turnaround for a man who was once leading the Voice for Feminism. He in the 70s, he served on the board for the National Organization for Women in New York City.
He was trying to get ideas.
That's exactly what he was doing. But he broke with the feminist movement when it strayed, in his view, from the idea that men and women should be equally involved in the workplace and the home. And he says that men's rights advocates argue feminism is more concerned with promoting the interests of women, often at the expense of men. See, this is what's wrong with y'all. Y'all over here listening. I mean, because there are some radical feminists who do preach, you know, promoting interests of women at the expense of men. But those are not real feminists, because feminists want equality for everybody. That's what they want. They don't want women to be higher than
right.
somebody else.
Hello.
They want the playing field to be leveled. But there are some people who really don't get the feminist movement and think that it's supposed to be, oh, women are the superior sex. Yes, we are. But women are the superior sex, and we're supposed to, we're better than everybody, you know, the men, and we should be paid more and this and that and that and this. I don't know. I mean, if... Like, would he be, I'm curious to know, would he be okay, like, would he be fighting for men's rights to stay at home with their children? Would he be fighting for that?
Hmm.
For stay-at-home husbands? I mean, because we did talk about that. There was a group of men who, yeah. So I wonder if he's for that.
Not. Ugh.
This is ridiculous. It is. Ridiculous. I'm sorry, Warren Farrell, or whatever your name is. You gotta go. Get out of here. We don't want to hear your foolishness. How dare they?
How dare you have the unmitigated gall to even approach us with this?
How dare you?
How dare you?
What do you think you are?
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Oh my god, I was just about to say shame on you. Girl, I've been watching enough white people reality TV, and they love it. Shame on you.
Shame on you.
Shame on you.
For
you
shame.
Ashamed of yourself.
It's actually the best when they say that.
Yes. Have you ever been? Has anybody ever said that to you? And were you ever ashamed when they said that?
I feel like my mom has said, how dare you, but not like you should be ashamed. No, you should be ashamed of yourself. Like, excuse me.
You know I shouldn't. You have, what I want.
How do you know my shame threshold?
Right.
It's pretty high. You don't know my life. Thank you.
You don't know my life.
Thank you very much.
Oh, man. Well, anywho, moving on to today I learned. Well, what did you learn today, Ari?
Well, today I learned because, you know, even though, summer's not technically over, but it's the unofficial end of summer. So we feel by this time, you know, the weather should have cooled a little bit. Summer hasn't really been crazy hot at all this year. In fact, yeah, it only hit like 90 degrees five times prior to Sunday. I believe. So five times in total for the summer. But Sunday, Monday, today, hot as hell.
Very hot.
It is mainly just because it's so, it's hot and it's humid. Like, humidity was almost like 90% when I checked it. This morning at like 9 a.m.
Yeah. When I went outside today, it felt like home.
Did it?
Yeah, it felt like home. I was like, God, it's hot and the no winds. But we usually have a breeze. But when I went outside, it was just like, it was just thick. And yes. I was like, God, it's only 8 o'clock in the morning. It's so hot.
Insane. So yeah. For today, I learned we are going to learn how does a fan work to cool you off.
Oh, let's hear it.
So, this is from Mental Floss, and it says, it feels almost intuitive that the moving air would help keep you cool. After all, that's what a breeze does, and in a pinch, waving a folder in front of your face on a hot day will provide a little relief. But since temperature is a feature of the molecular properties of a substance, the air itself isn't made any cooler by movement. It just makes us feel cooler when it blows by. On a hot day, or on a not-so-hot day, if it's wind chill you're talking about, moving air helps your body with the cooling-off process. Humans lose heat, a necessity for thermoregulation through conduction, radiation, convection, and evaporation. The final two are what account for fans' effects. So on a hot day, your body sweats to lose heat through the evaporation of that moisture. In still air, the evaporation causes the area immediately surrounding your skin to reach body temperature and 100% humidity, rendering it essentially ineffective to continue the process. A fan or breeze helps by replacing this hot, humid air with cooler, drier air that allows for more evaporation. Similarly, even without sweat, our body loses heat to the surrounding air simply by convection. If our internal temperature is higher than that of the surrounding air, energy, and thus heat, is transferred. However, once again, in motionless air, this simply creates a boundary area of hot air around you. The breeze from the fan carries that hot air away and perpetuates the process, effectively cooling you off.
Well, look at that.
So it kind of makes sense why sometimes, like, on really hot days, when you feel like your fan isn't really doing much for you.
Right. Because your fan is just blowing hot air at you.
Right. Like that today. Like today, like last night in the middle of my sleep.
It's awful when you have just hot air blowing right back at you. Oh, my God. I just want to vomit.
Sometimes I would think like, well, maybe it's just time to get a new fan because clearly it's not working, but no, that's not how science works.
Yeah, it's the hot air. And well, cool.
That's what I learned today.
Awesome.
What did you learn today?
Well, we are the grammar grouches and so I found out about 10 words that we are all probably misusing. And a few of them blew me away. Totally blew me away. You know, there's so many words in the English language, and English is organic, and people make up words every day, and, you know, it becomes a new word. But some words that we did not make up have a different meaning than what we think they are. So number one is travesty. And this one actually blew me away. travesty. What we think it means, or what we may think it means, is a tragedy or an unfortunate event. Travesty actually means a mockery or a parody.
What?
Yeah. I've never heard it as this is a travesty and they're talking about something, a mockery or parody. Anytime I hear travesty, it's something tragic happened and it's just awful and you just can't even think about it because it's such a travesty. But it's not. It's a mockery or a parody. And the person who wrote this article is a grammar grouch, and this is what they said. This one, I'll admit, is my own personal error. For the longest time, I equated travesty with tragedy, mostly because in passing, they sound like the same word. It's stupid, I know. But if you knew how many times I confused fetal position with beetle position, you wouldn't be laughing.
Oh, my gosh.
Problem. The next word is ironic. What you may think it means is a funny coincidence. What it actually means is contrary to what you might expect. So that means Alanis Morissette's song is not about anything ironic.
I think that's probably where it all got confused, because the whole song is an entire coincidence.
It's a coincidence, not ironic. Yeah. So, I mean, let me see. I'm trying to think of when people say, oh, the irony. It's usually a coincidence, though, when people say, oh, the irony. It's a coincidence, like, and it's not contrary to what we might expect. It's like, oh, I really hate chicken, and then a chicken walks by. Oh, the irony. You know? Or you say, I really hate the color red, and then somebody named Mr. Rojo calls you. Oh, the irony. That's not ironic. That's actually just a funny coincidence.
Right.
If you really take what the meaning of ironic is. And I'm not quite sure I know how to use ironic in a sentence now.
No, I don't. I feel like I haven't used ironic in a sentence in a while.
But now to say contrary to what you might expect, I don't know how I would use it in a sentence.
So I just put in ironic and searched it on Twitter to see how people are using it. Mm-hmm. Someone goes, this is kind of a little morbid. So Casey Anthony is pregnant. If that's not ironic, I don't know what is.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess that's a quote-unquote funny coincidence. Not contrary to what we would expect.
Right. Responding to an ironic tweet like you don't get the irony is ironic as well. Get it?
Okay.
Oh, I'm actually such an unlucky guy, so it's ironic how I was born on St. Patrick's Day. Like, what the fuck happened?
See? Funny coincidence.
Funny coincidence. Yeah. So ironic that the people that I constantly defend against the world are the ones who let me down the most. Well, that just sucks.
That does suck. Sorry for whoever that is.
But yeah, I don't see really anyone using it properly.
Yeah, so I need to see it in the proper sentence now to know how to use ironic. Let's look on dictionary.com, because when you look on dictionary.com, they give you the way to use it in a sentence. So we're going to look it up. Maybe type it in. Ironic. Isn't it ironic?
Don't you think?
Okay, it's an adjective, using words to convey a meaning that is opposite of its literal meaning, containing or exemplifying irony, an ironic novel. Look, I hate definitions that have the word in it. let's see, example sentences. Oh, what? You gotta upgrade the app now to get example sentences? How rude!
Oh my goodness. Okay, hold on a second. This is what I've been Googling lately. So, ironic in a sentence. Let's see if whoever got it right. And this is on yourdictionary.com. The dictionary you can understand. let's see. This is like fan fiction dictionary. Like, what are these examples? Taryn, whose golden eyes made her blood heat and whose touch brought a warm tingle of anticipation to her body. It was ironic that the two men she loved in her life would betray her. What?
Now, that's the proper way to use it, because that's not a funny coincidence. That is the opposite meaning.
That was a Harlequin novel. That's what that was.
Yeah. I mean, it was contrary to what she would expect, because she would expect that the people who love her would not do whatever they did. So that's the proper way to use it. Okay. It wasn't a funny coincidence. Uh-huh. Well, that person used it correctly, even though it was a Harlequin novel. Is Fabio riding on a horse? Is that one of the guys who she's in love with? Taryn. What?
Spelled T-A-R-A-N.
Okay. There are a lot of other ones. This one was one that I really liked. Nauseous. What you may think it means is to feel sick. What it actually means is to cause nausea. So if, like, someone who makes me sick, I could say, you're nauseous because you make me want to vomit. That's what I would say to a person.
Ugh.
I'm not feeling nauseous. That sounds weird, though. Yeah, I'm not feeling nauseous. You are nauseous, and you make me, because you make me sick.
Yeah. That's rude.
So if you are feeling ill, you have to say, I'm nauseated. If you're feeling nausea, if you feel like you're going to throw up, puke, vomit, yak. There's so many ways to say throw up. It's gross.
What's your favorite way to say throw up?
I love puke. Puke is probably my favorite way. You make me feel the puke.
I always say throw up. I don't really say anything else. But I think it's so funny when people say Earl, like here in New York. Because I always thought it was like Hurl.
Yeah, it is Hurl.
I know, but people over here say Earl. Like the
here are weird.
But that makes me laugh.
Yeah. Hurl is funny.
I feel like they would say that on like a kid's show.
And if I'm feeling extra funny, I'll say projectile vomit. That one cracks me up.
That's projectile just disgusting. Vomit. It's like right at Chucky.
It is disgusting. Like that's like totally uncontrollable vomiting.
Ugh. Projectile it's a vomit. Biohazard.
Girl, you know how I feel about people throwing up. You don't do that around me. You don't need biohazard. Get me out of here. This is a biohazard.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, gross.
Can you please tell a quick story about biohazards?
I will definitely do that. Oh, I thought I had already told it. That's what I was saying. Okay. So where this came from, I was at a club. It was me and my best friend and her sister and a bunch of other, like, her sorors and stuff. And we went to this party. And they knew a guy who was, he had a room, like a VIP section. And this one girl, we're in there, we're partying, and this one girl, I'm looking at her, and her, like, her head is down in her lap, and she's, like, swaying back and forth. And I'm like, she's going to throw up. And they're like, oh, no. I'm like, somebody needs to take her to the bathroom, because she's going to throw up. Before I could even finish the second time of saying that she's going to throw up, she did exactly that. And it was a lot. To the point where it was like splattering on the floor and splattering everywhere. And I was like, you got to get me out of here. This is a biohazard. That's a biohazard. I don't know what kind of disease she got. Is she throwing up all over the place? Ew, this is disgusting. Get me out of here. This is a biohazard. This is a biohazard. And now I'm known for that word. Like, anytime they hear biohazard, they always text me like, I heard somebody say biohazard and I thought of you. I went to the doctor's office and I saw her throw her gloves in the biohazard.
And I totally witnessed it when
When did I do it?
When Dee Dee and I, we went to brunch. We went to Southern Hospitality and got chicken and waffles. And then the table next to us, this guy, I guess, had a few too many mimosas or Bloody Marys or whatever. And he ended up throwing up. So one of his friends took him to the bathroom, but Dee Dee's like, oh no, that is a biohazard. That is a biohazard. And I'm looking at her like, what is she talking about? It's a biohazard. So she was like passing them lemons because it got on one of the guys, and she just kept saying it was a biohazard. And it was really funny. It was really, really funny.
It's disgusting.
It was definitely gross because it was on the floor and
we were eating
everything.
Oh my god, that's so gross. It's a biohazard. Somebody pour lemon, and I was surely was passing over lemon. I was like, the acid will kill whatever was in his throw up, and you do that. Like, ew. I mean, damn, like, they weren't even there for that long for him to throw up like that.
No, because we were definitely there longer than them.
Way longer than them. But he must have been turnt by the time he got there, because it made absolutely no sense. And he was a big guy, so he should be able to hold his liquor a little better.
Yeah, it was a little embarrassing.
Very. So the last one I'm going to give you guys is the one where I was really like, oh my gosh, because I use this word all the time. Terrific. What you may think it means is awesome or fantastic. And it doesn't mean that. It actually means causing terror. So like, it's terrible, terrifying, terrific. Just like horror, horrifying, horrific. Why wouldn't I ever think of that?
I know, and it seems like it's so obvious too.
Yeah, it's so obvious. So now I'm gonna start calling people terrific. Oh, you're a terrific person.
Ooh, cheeky.
Very cheeky. Yeah, I'm just gonna start calling people terrific, and they're gonna be like, oh, she thinks I'm great. No, I don't. I think you're terrifying. I think you're a terrible person. So it's an outdated definition, but still, I wish we would have never changed it to be awesome or fan, or I'm curious to know how it became to mean awesome or fantastic, right? And no longer causing terror.
That's what I want to know.
Yeah,
that's the next question.
That is the next question. The $64 million question.
It's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money. Somebody find an answer. So, there's a lot more words. We'll put the link in on the page, on our Podbean page, and then you guys can click and find out what the other 6 words were, because I think we only did 4. But yeah, it's fun. We love learning these kind of things, and we hope you guys enjoy learning them as well.
What's next?
Well, next, we've got, oh, it's TV time!
Woo!
So, this is our web show that we love to watch, and it's Roomie Lover Friends. And, whoa. So, they're part of Black and Sexy TV, right?
Yes, Black and Sexy, baby.
Black and Sexy, baby. I love that, I always say it. So, Black and Sexy, they have a few web series, and Hello Cupid is one of them, and I'm going to let Ari explain what Hello Cupid is.
Okay, so Hello Cupid, it's about these two girls, well, specifically this one girl named Whitney. She wants to meet guys, so she signs up for this online dating service called Hello Cupid, and she wasn't really getting much play. If guys messaged her, she was very, like, you know, curt with them, and she was very, like, by the books. And so her friend Robin is like, you know, you gotta loosen up. She comes up with the idea to change her picture. She felt like none of the pictures she had was sexy enough, so pretty much she catfishes, and she uses her roommate and friend Robin's picture to use as her profile pic. And as soon as she did that, like, the number of requests and messages she had, it was like through the roof. So in weeding out the guys, she actually finds one that she likes. So she's talking to him through the IM. She's talking to him on the phone. And it seems like they really like each other. But now he wants to meet in person. But clearly she's not the girl that's in the picture. So she sends Robin on the date for her. And he thinks that, of course, that's her. And he likes her, and they end up kissing, and you know, Robin doesn't seem like she wants to do it anymore, and so, but she agrees to go out on another date. The guy, his name is Cassius, he tries to set up Whitney, because they end up meeting, on a blind date with his cousin, and Robin is trying to, like, you know, pretty much, she wants the truth to come out, so the truth ends up coming out that she catfishes this guy, even though it's pretty much her that she talks to all the time, and he wasn't cool with that at all. He was actually very upset, but pretty much everyone gets over it, and it actually turns out that this guy Cassius, he has a son, and he's actually technically still married to his wife, but they're separated and living in the same house.
Whoa.
And yeah, so that was the first season of the show, and now the second season, she wants to get to, like, she ends up, like, trying to get to know Cassius, like, take it that step further and do it the normal way, I guess, quote-unquote, the normal way by just being herself. And, what happens is all of the characters from Hello Cupid and Roomie Lover Friends, it's kind of like, you know, they know each other. And right. In this latest episode, they mashed the two web series together for one super episode.
And it was delicious.
Yeah.
It was a delicious mashup. And it came together so well. And the thing is, it's like, I didn't watch Hello Cupid before, but... there was a scene where the girl from Hello Cupid, she's looking for a place to live, and the girl who's on Roomie Lover Friends has a space open, and the girl Whitney from Hello Cupid, you know, applies to come and stay in the room, and so it's all great when you finally see it, the scenes get fleshed out in Hello Cupid. However, even though you don't watch Hello Cupid, it wasn't like that scene wouldn't have made sense just watching Roomie Lover Friends. And that's what I liked about it. I thought that was very clever the way that they brought it all together. However, yeah. If you don't watch one web series, you're not going to be like, I don't get what's going on here. Like, they blended it together, but they still kept it separate.
Right.
And it was so good. So for the mashup, it was 30 minutes of just awesomeness. It was really, really good. And, I mean, Andre Fuller, like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Like, why is he so fine? I don't, there's not that many people who I fawn, like, people on TV who I fawn that much over. Like, I love me some Drake. I love Chris Brown. And I love Andre Fuller. Like,
It makes no sense how fine this dude is. It's like ridiculous.
He's got a beautiful smile, beautiful eyelash. His skin color is just perfect. It's just, oh my gosh. I want to meet him in person and just give him a hug. He's got beautiful lips. And what I do like about him is like he's cut, but not like super ripped.
Right.
He looks like a human who works out. He doesn't look like some, you know, Greek god, like, oh my god, this person is completely unattainable. Like, he looks like he's a real down-to-earth person. And that's what I like about his acting as well. His acting to me almost feels like it's real.
Like, yeah. Like he was definitely put in the situation. It's like, it's
right.
For him, it kind of feels like reality TV, but better.
Yes. And then that's what I don't like about Tomiko, because she makes me feel like like it's a show that I'm watching.
Ugh. You know what? I really can't stand Tomiko.
Me
She
either.
Has to be one of the worst characters like ever written on anything in life.
She's awful. She's so awful. She's kind of selfish.
She's very selfish.
And I don't know. She's very brash. And hypocritical. She's just got so much shit going on, and I'm just like, why are you like that? I don't like it. But we already told y'all basically everything about Rumi Lover. I mean, Hello Cupid. Except for season two, we didn't give away season two. We can give away season one, because if you ain't watched it by now, you just didn't watch it, and it's been out for a long time, so that's your business. But you should go back and watch it just to watch. You know, so you can get familiar with the characters.
It's very good. It's so entertaining, and it literally will leave you like hang. They do such a good job at these cliffhangers. Definitely. On these episodes. So like every single episode is like, oh my gosh, I need to watch the next one. Can I tell y'all, I watched this mashup three times I watched this mashup because I thought it was that good.
Okay, because I was gonna say, what were you looking for? Were you looking for things that you missed the first time?
It was just really entertaining to me.
It is really good. And who doesn't want to see more of Andre Fuller? Like,
no,
everybody.
And what I noticed, which is kind of a little bit weird, and I don't want to do the whole like light skin, dark skin thing, but the two girls who I don't like happen to be light skin, and it's like, why are they doing them like this? Like, I don't want to dislike them like that.
Yeah.
But it's just like, oh, here we go with these girls thinking that they too cute for school.
Exactly.
And all that. But because Robin gets on my nerves from Hello Cupid so much. I feel like she's more selfish than Tomiko.
She's definitely more selfish than Tomiko.
She's like pretty
and
awful.
She's juvenile. She needs to grow up.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Like, really, listen, don't ever say, don't, like, no one ever say, like, if it happens to be your birthday, I'm sorry, but not everything can fly because it's your birthday.
Right. It's my birthday, bitch. I don't care.
Like, especially if you were in your late 20s, like, you gotta go somewhere else with that. It's my birthday. Like, bitch, so what? It's also Tuesday.
So what, bitch? It's your birthday, so you should know better. You're supposed to be grown. Like, what's going on here?
Awful. So,
get it together.
Yeah, we're gonna need you guys to watch that show.
Yeah, you gotta watch. Go for Hello Cupid, and of course, I mean, I'm sure you guys will. We hope you guys have been watching Rumi Lover Friends. And if you guys have been, we want to know what you guys are thinking about it.
Yes.
If you love it as much as we do.
Definitely tweet us and let us know. Or even let us know what other web series you're watching if you are watching web series.
Yes, definitely. Let us know. Because we're always looking for new web series to watch. I mean, I watch so much stuff, I feel like my eyes are going to fall out of my head.
We definitely do watch too much TV. Like, let's just get a job already.
I mean, yo, if I could have a job where I was just watching TV, that would be awesome.
Who's gonna provide the snacks? That's the next question.
Right.
Who provides the snacks? And the drinks?
That should be fringe benefits of the job. We can watch TV and we give you snacks.
Yes.
I'm never quitting. Having this job for life.
Do I sit on the couch? Do I lay in bed? Do I sit in the chair? Like, what's the deal?
How do I do this?
What's the deal?
Oh my gosh. What else do we have in TV time?
Okay, so something that was kind of like big and popping on Labor Day was the Saved by the Bell, the unauthorized movie that aired on Lifetime. It was based off Dustin Diamond's tell-all book because apparently he's like a bitter Billy. And the movie, it looked really bad, and after watching it, it was just as awful as I thought it was gonna be.
Oh my gosh.
But it was so awful, like, you couldn't help but watch.
Like a train wreck.
I mean, it was like a train wreck. Like, more so in the movie, like, instead of making it seem like everyone else was bad, it made Dustin Diamond look really pathetic. Which is weird because he was an executive producer of the movie.
Oh, wow.
But, I mean, it was just funny to see, like, little reenactments of the things from the TV show that we all loved. How they got their start. They were canceled a few times. How they became so popular. I mean, it didn't really, like, delve too much into anything, but we found out that Lark Voorhees and Mark Paul Gosselaar, they had a little thing going on, and Lark was very upset and jealous of Tiffany Amber Thiessen because she was trying to get a little close to Mark. We found out that Screech, well, and then again, like, this is like allegedly because the people on the show say the things that Screech was saying wasn't really true. So we're not sure if it was true, but what came out from the movie was that Dustin Diamond was blackmailed by a guy who wanted to be like a regular cast member on the show. So he blackmailed him by taping him smoking weed, and he was like, I'm gonna release this to everyone, you're gonna lose your job if you don't, like, you know, put me on the show. So that was kind of weird.
But how would Dustin Diamond have the clout to put him on the show?
I know, right? I mean, they were teenagers. Like, teenagers think they know everything.
What the heck?
So that was a little crazy. What else happened? Apparently they loved Cameo because they played Word Up for like half the movie. It's like, yes, it was like every other second that's what you heard, and it was like, all right, we need another song now.
For this movie.
But I mean, they also play like BBD, they played some Mix-a-Lot, Baby Got Back.
They played white people music? I mean,
no, not that I really like, not even like no Bananarama, no Madonna, like no Tiffany, like none of that. These are like the throwest of acts right now.
Oh my god.
But it was just so bad. It was really funny.
Did you say Tiffany?
Yeah, remember Tiffany?
Of course. That just took me way back.
Right? I mean, shit. I mean, if they were like, you know, signing autographs in the mall, it would only make sense that Tiffany would be a soundtrack, or, you know, at least one song or something. But it was just bad. It was bad. And I don't know what's going on with these, like, tell-alls and these biopics, because the next one that's going to be coming up is Brittany Murphy on Lifetime. And it's like, who ordered this? Who wanted this? No offense, rest in peace, but, like, why?
Why?
I saw her in, like, 4 movies.
Calm down.
Stop.
Right.
And I think 2 of them are Clueless. No, I'm kidding. Even though there's only 1 Clueless movie, but you know what I'm saying.
Right. I don't want to watch that.
Were you a Saved by the Bell fan?
I was. I used to love Saved by the Bell. And if it comes on TV now, I'll still watch it.
I watch it sometimes on Netflix.
It's on Netflix?
Yes, girl.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Go watch it on Netflix. When I wake up in the morning.
It's so funny that, like, as soon, because Tiffany Amber Thiessen and Elizabeth Berkley, they decided to leave the show towards the end of the last season, and that's why Tori, the girl that no one likes, came in, and they acknowledged that it just wasn't the same after they left, or whatever.
Yeah.
But fun fact that they kind of messed up in the movie is that they portrayed it where Kelly and Jesse came back to film the graduation episode after, and I guess, like, you know, Tori left and everything like that. But it turns out that they actually filmed that episode while they were still a part of the cast and not, like, at the end. So in the movie, they were like, you know, it was so great to do this, I missed you, and all this kind of stuff, but that didn't really happen. No. But it was a beautiful, yeah, creative license. It was a beautiful train wreck that I almost, that I zoned out for a little bit, for a tiny bit, but it reeled me back in, because it was just too awful to pass up. I love bad TV every once in a while, like really bad TV. This was it.
And this was it.
Yeah.
I didn't get to watch it, but I saw everybody's tweets about it, and everybody was collectively saying how much of a train wreck it was.
Mm-hmm.
That's what everybody was saying.
So what is next?
Well, it's the beginning of September, and September is National Honey Month.
Ooh.
Honey, we love honey. I want a honey. I need to find a honey. But anyway, that's besides the point.
Oh, girl.
National Honey Month is a celebratory and promotional event held annually during the month of September. Its purpose is to promote U.S. beekeeping, the beekeeping industry, and honey as a natural and beneficial sweetener. The Awareness Month was initiated by the National Honey Board, who knew that was real. It's a U.S. government established USDA overseeing organization, and it was established in 1989. September is significant for honey producers as it is the month that marks the end of the honey collection season for many beekeepers in the United States. I love honey.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. I love it. I love to put it in my tea. Whenever I sweeten my tea, I love it when I used to have peanut butter and banana sandwiches with some honey. Oh my God. So good. So good. And I recently found out about like this thicker kind of honey that you find in like a jar. It's like clove honey. It's like raw honey.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like a syrup. Oh my God. You put that on a waffle or on some toast. It's so good.
Ooh.
So delicious. And there are like all different kinds of honey. There's like when the bees can go from like different flower. It depends on like the beekeeper. And so the beekeeper will have a certain kind of flower growing. So they'll have orange blossom honey. So that means the bees only went to orange blossoms to, you know, get nectar. Or they have blueberry honey where the bees only went to like the blueberry blossoms to get nectar. And they all do taste different when you do like a little honey taste test. They do, and they have clove honey. That's my favorite one. Clover honey is my favorite one. At all. How about you? Do you like honey?
I'm not too much of a honey fan, but I found that like as I grew into my adulthood, mm-hmm. I have grown to tolerate it.
There you go. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
You should definitely try that. The honey that comes in a jar. I bought it at, I think, at Trader Joe's. Either Trader Joe's or...
I think I've definitely seen it at Trader Joe's. I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah. And Whole Foods, of course. Of course, they sell all the clove honey, too. There are actually 300 different kinds of honey.
What?
Outrageous. So, like I was saying before, they have all these different flowers that they go to. And different beekeepers keep different kinds of flowers. And my God, I'm trying to open up this website, but it's not opening till for me to. I wasn't gonna tell you guys the whole 300 flowers that they go to because that's just boring and unnecessary. But I was gonna tell you guys like the different flavors that they can give you. So the here we go. It finally opened. Oh my God. Oh, there's buckwheat honey, and that one's really dark. Avocado honey, clover honey.
I would totally try avocado honey.
Me too. I want to try that. It's primarily produced in California. Avocado is a well-rounded honey with a rich caramelized molasses flavor and a flowery aftertaste. Yes, there's blueberry. There's alfalfa. Eucalyptus, orange blossom, sourwood, sage, fireweed, tupelo. I don't even know what a tupelo is, but that's in southwestern Georgia and northwestern Florida. We can find tupelo, and it's a smooth honey with a complex floral, herbal, fruity flavor and aftertaste.
Okay,
look at that, all these different kinds of honeys. All right. Sage honey. Oh, I bet you that's good. Sage smells good and it's very herby. I'm sure it'll have a nice floral aftertaste. Mm. Oh, eucalyptus would probably be good too. I've never heard of sourwood. I don't know what that is. But yeah. So, it's National Honey Month. So guys, go and support the U.S. beekeepers and go get some honey.
Go get some honey. Go get some honey.
What is the purpose of that stick? That they have that honey stick with the little ball at the end of the stripe with the ripples.
I don't know. I feel like it's to feed the bears.
Yeah, like that's a Winnie the Pooh thing. What is it even called? The honey stick?
That's a good question.
I'm gonna Google it right now. What's the honey stick called? Does anyone use the honey thing? Oh, it's called a honey dipper.
Oh, okay. Simple enough.
How to use a honey dipper? What is the purpose of it? I have a honey dipper I thought would be worth making use of. It does great at not dripping honey as I take it out of the jar. Okay, so that's what it is. Honey dippers make it so that you're not dripping stuff, which is true because if you have a loose honey and you're trying to use a spoon, you have to sit there and make sure that you wipe off the bottom of the spoon so that's not dripping all over the place and then getting on your counter and hardening up. That is the worst. Oh, honey is good in oatmeal. Somebody just said that on here. It's delicious on oatmeal with a little bit of cinnamon and a pinch of salt.
Oatmeal is good for a lot of things.
Yes, it is. I love oatmeal. It's good for your face too.
Yeah.
And for your skin if you have itchy skin. Dakota has dry itchy skin, and she gets an oatmeal bath every 6 weeks.
Wow, she is fancy.
She's fancy, honey. Fancy, bitch. I can't even buy myself no damn Aveeno, and this house again bathed in damn oatmeal. Shit. $65. But we'll talk about it on another day. On what grinds your gears, I'll talk about how I have to pay $65 to start to get a damn haircut. And me, I'm over here doing twist outs at home.
You know what? People love their dogs.
We do. We do. I'm one of them people.
It's a billion-dollar industry.
It sure is. $2 billion. My God.
Speaking of, did y'all know that Dee Dee has her own dog concierge service?
I do. And if you guys are in the New York City area, please check us out, lmnyc.net. And we do dog walking, pet sitting, and other concierge services like picking up dog food or taking your dog to the vet or to the groomers, and also picking up medication. So please check us out, lmnyc.net. If you guys are in the New York City area, I'm not flying down anywhere else. I'm sorry. Sorry, it's only for Manhattan and Brooklyn right now. And I just recently had some dogs that I was watching, as a matter of fact, and the people whose dogs I was watching, they left me a very nice review, and I was very happy.
Oh, nice. The review
that they left. Yes, it was very nice. So I did quality work, people. Quality work. But yes, so is it cocktail time?
It is cocktail time.
All right. Well, what's the cocktail of the week, Ari?
Oh, well, the cocktail of the week is the Busy Bee.
Busy Bee!
So for that, we'll just need 1 to 2 parts of Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey Whiskey, 2 parts Sierra Mist or Sprite or a lemon lime soda, juice from a lemon wedge, and 3 to 4 fresh mint leaves. So you're going to combine everything in a glass, gently stir, and first you should muddle the mint and then combine the rest of the ingredients in a glass and stir it up and drink it.
There you go.
And that's the Busy Bee.
It's the Busy Bee. That sounds delicious.
Yes.
I love Honey Jack.
You know what? It's funny because I feel like with Honey Jack, you really don't get tipsy like that.
You don't?
I mean, you get like tipsy, but it's not like with vodka where you be drunk. Like, oh, you don't really get drunk with whiskey.
Yeah, you just feel really nice. I feel grown up. I feel grown up drunk. Like when I drink vodka, I feel college drunk. Like, man, it's really messy, and I wake up the next morning and it's an awful mess.
Right.
When you drink some honey jack, like, you just like, I'm vibing, man. And the next day, you're cool as a cucumber.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely like whiskey. Jack Daniel's especially the Honey Jack. That's my favorite one.
They did this for the women.
Yes, that they did. What, I mean, I know the drink that we gave you guys is delicious. However, another drink, and I think I've told you guys this before, Honey Jack and the raspberry lemonade from Simply Lemonade. Oh my God.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yes.
You don't need anything else. Drink that for the rest of the night and you'll be good. But you're absolutely right. I've never felt like yucky drunk off of Honey Jack. I always just get nice. And I mean, I'll have 3 or 4 of them and I still feel okay. I need to put more Honey Jack on my in my storage.
Yes.
I need to store more of that. Alright, well, is that the end of our show?
That is our show, episode 79, coming to a close.
That's it. Woo! So where can we find you, Ari?
Well, you guys, I just launched a new blog today. So you can find me on my new website. It's called overquirkedandunfazed.com. And again, always at Ariel Sheree and on Instagram and Twitter. So overquirkedandunfazed.com and Twitter and Instagram at Ariel Sheree. What about you? Where can I find you, Didi?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram as well. Lucky Stars, LuckyStarz. You can find us, the show, on Twitter. It's Catnaps and Cognac. Excuse me, Catnaps, the letter N, Cognac.
Letter N.
We're also on Facebook, Facebook.com/Catnaps and Cognac. We are accessible by email, catnaps.andcognac@gmail.com. We're also on the Spreaker Network. You can check us out on iTunes. Search for Catnaps and Cognac. And don't forget to go to our website, catnapsandcognac.podbean.com, where you can find all of our episodes and links and our drinks. And I think I got it all, right?
Yeah.
All right. So, we will chat with you guys next week.
All right. Bye.
Bye.